Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Saturday morning to you. This is Tyler, your host of Totally Traumatic Brain. My book, Counting the Days, Recovery Through the Romance Side of the Brain, is my journey of recovery through romantic poetry. And I'll explain a little bit more about that. For those of you that are listeners, you know that my show hopes to encourage you to live at peace with your brain injury, to live with less resistance, to embrace the laws of the higher potential, and to move into an allowing state of being. Again, I'm Tyler Stanley, your host. I am an author, scriptwriter, non-practicing lawyer, and TBI enthusiast. Why an enthusiast? Who could be enthused about having brain injury? Well, that's where my recovery has taken me. Because I celebrate my having brain injury, it has made me who I am. I have a unique personality carved out over time from brain loss. Today's show, as every show, it's open discussion. I believe that I can take callers. I'm not sure about that yet with Blog Talk, but I'll do my best. Otherwise, I will keep going here. To introduce this particular show, what I really like is something I came up with, is that my goal is that we explore these tools on the radio show applied to you. Storytelling is a great liberator. And I think that takes me back to the fact that I wrote the book, my book, Counting the Days, Recovery Through the Romance Side of the Brain, My Journey Through Romantic Poetry. And I want to elaborate on that just a little bit, because I guess that could be a little confusing. So how could recovery be benefited from romantic poetry? I believe that we have a romantic gene in our brain. Maybe this idea comes from the fact that I have brain damage, and sometimes I come up with some weird things. You know, I have instincts that are very heightened out of my recovery from brain injury, and maybe many of you as well. And so this could be just one of those things I come up with that are almost so brilliant they're ridiculously crazy. So, anyways. I do believe because I can trace back to my beginning recovery. I couldn't walk, couldn't talk, all of that jazz. And people would come over, neighbors would come over, and my mom in particular would reach for a family book. We're British, so the British books were at no limit in our house, and she loved the Oxford Book of Verse. So she loved the Romantic period. So you can look up the Oxford Book of Verse. You can see the Romantic period, and you can see some of the great, great authors. And she read that to me, and she didn't know whether I was comprehending anything. I was kind of a garbled mess, but she believed in the higher potential. And what that was for her at that moment was that I was hearing it, that I was listening, that it was benefiting my brain. It was some activity. It was something going in, she hoped. So my prognosis wasn't very good at the time. But she was a strong believer because of her beliefs in the higher potential and not looking at the negative, looking at the positive, not looking at what's wrong but what's right, what can be instead of what is. That was her motto, and she lived by it. So the show is dedicated to her and all of you caregivers out there. And so I believe there's a romantic gene, and I don't know if that's going to work with everybody. Brain injury is unique like a fingerprint. It is all different. Our experiences before the injury are all different. Our personalities are all different. That's what's so amazing about the brain. Think about it. This is the ultimate computer, the ultimate technology, and all of things that are developed after are from that. And we are brilliant. Humanity is brilliant in the sense that we have a brain that does what it does. Now, you know, given obviously that some people misuse that knowledge and that instinct and that brain power, but I'm talking about, on this show, I'm talking about all the positive things and the amazing things of the brain, because nothing we do that's negative can override our brain and our ability to do what we do. And so my recovery really was based, and I think it's why I'm a poet. I think it's why I'm a published poet. My book around here somewhere, Counting the Days, Recovery from the Brain. I may be able to read something from that and share that, but it's all based on the concept that we do have a romantic gene. And I'm just waiting for somebody to catch up with that and start doing some research and help me out there. So what kinds of things about recovery are helpful? Well, for me, it was that book happened to tap into the romantic side of my brain. And so it's allowed me, I think, to be the writer I am. I've been told, and it's been quoted, that I write from the Elizabethans, the old British poets and prose. And so, you know, I think what we do is somehow somebody can tap into something we have that's very precious, and it's alive. Because brain injury is not it's not death, right? If you've got a brain injury, you're a survivor, you are alive, and your brain is alive, and there's parts of you in there that are alive. So for caregivers, never give up, and so many of you don't, and to your peril, you never give up. And I was looking, sometimes I like to do a little bit of news on the show around traumatic brain injury, and I found this article that I've actually said it on the radio show and in my talks that I give once in a while about brain injury. And this is out of the Huffington Post, March 2016, and it is how, and the title is How I Regained My Humanity After Brain Injury. Well, I call it something different, but listen to a little bit of this. I'm going to kind of point out a couple of things in this article in particular to see, to bring it to you. I won't read the whole thing, of course. It starts out that, and it's, gosh, I so related to this. It's so related to this. A brain injury brings with it a confusing barrage of physical, emotional, and cognitive changes that affects the survivor deeply and personally. The simplest expression of this is when we say, I don't know who I am anymore. That's exactly what I've been talking about for years and years and years. Because that is the statement made before the remanufacturing of self takes place, and the rebuilding and the restructuring and the redeveloping of you. This is also known as a loss of humanity. Okay, here's their definite. It has profound implications, manifesting itself as confusion, doubt, and depression, and making our recovery that much more difficult. In my own situation, the hardships I encountered left me thinking a number of times that my life wasn't worth it. Now, how many of you out there have said my life isn't worth it? If the struggle is too much, the mountain's too high, I take a couple of steps and I'm knocked down, forget it, I'm done. Caregivers can feel that way too. That just doesn't belong to survivors of traumatic brain injury. This person at the age of 19, I was busy developing my own personality, likes, dislikes, and strengths. But then a car accident and a month-long coma seemed to obliterate everything. Well, I was actually younger than 19. I was developing my likes, dislikes, and my strengths and who I was. Boom, all gone. Beyond the obvious, needing to learn how to walk again, talk, tie my shoes, and cut my food, also my experience, I lost the things I identified myself by, including my connection to the past. These events, now this is coming from an article at Huffington Post about this survivor. The events I could remember seemed to have happened to somebody else. I don't remember remembering much on my end. back in school, I couldn't remember material in class or understand simple humor. I was a loner, get panicked impulsively. People didn't know my circumstances, would point out my ditzy behavior, et cetera. Life was confusing and frustrating. This seems to be the definition of brain injury on a greater level. I think many people can relate to this, but how it manifests itself, that's the unique fingerprint of the brain injury. Eventually, I came to the realization that I would need to start over as a human being, and I called it resetting zero. And began experiencing life as new with no expectations. Let's go down, scroll down here a little bit. In keeping with the idea of discovery, I took a risk and lived 10 miles off campus. And she kind of stretched her boundaries. She chopped wood for heat on the coast of Maine. That's what challenges can do for us. We do need to make those challenges. We need to go that step beyond what our brain injury says our limit line is. So we need to always be stepping beyond. But the thing I found about romantic poetry, because after it was read to me for so many years, I began to read for myself, right? And fell in love with poetry all over again. And so that recovery piece, so we do need to make those challenges. But what I found about using poetry as a recovery tool for me was that I didn't have that pain when something, like if I looked at a piece of paper and it had dots all over it, that would hurt my brain. To this day, it still would hurt my brain. If I had certain challenges that were, they were very painful. And so I had to learn how to avoid those and cross the line of other things. So if I see a piece of paper with a bunch of dots on it and that hurts my brain, I have to move away from it. Else it will cause depression. I will go right into a depression and like loud noises. Somebody would drop a book and I would go from fine to complete depression because of the sound. So these are things, now that doesn't occur anymore. I my accident was many, many years ago, and I've been applying these principles that I'm sharing here on this show. And so this is what I am today. But still, putting that piece of paper with dots in front of my face, my brain would hurt, and it would cause possibly frustration and anger as a result. So that's what poetry did for me, is it was soothing. It was something that my brain could take on that wasn't painful. And so it looks like here, without reading the whole article, it looks like she was challenging herself. She chose situations where she could grow and develop herself by those challenges. Again, we don't want them to be painful. So again, let's see. I'm not sure that my Blog Talk subscription allows callers. I'm not sure what level I'm at, but I'm going to give you the call-in, guest call-in number anyway, 619-924-0793. And we'll just see, and I'll just be checking on all this stuff as we go. And I wanted to say something about that. I read this morning what I could to find out a little more about how to really use Blog Talk for your advantage. And I'm doing all the wrong things, in case you didn't know. You know, it says this and that, and you got to do this, and you got to do all this prep music and all this. I have that little piece that I have a startup, and so I would like anybody to send an email. If you have any advice for me, I'm not trying to be a professional radio host here. I'm trying to benefit from my experiences and offer what I can to help you, because I've been through it and I made it, and I feel like I want to share it, and I want to, and I do this in my personal life. I've been a volunteer with survivors of brain injury now since 2008. I'm also on the advisory board of the Brain Injury Center in California, in the Bay Area, and so I invest in a lot of time in giving myself as much as I can to people with brain injury, traumatic brain injury in particular, because that's my story. My new, the newer website we've got going is tylerstanley.net. I mean, actually, excuse me, I got that backwards. My website, my older website that has a lot of my book signing debuts and a lot of stuff, a tribute to my mom. It's sort of been a process in working, but I think that you could still purchase my book from there. Tylerstanley.net is that. We have now a website, a newer website, which a lot of things are moving over to it. I like it better than mine. Mine was kind of my version of a website, lots of colors and different stuff. It's very, I think, easy to access, but it's certainly just was what I knew about building a website. TotallyTraumaticBrain.com is the new place to go. And you can reach me by email, and this is what I'm saying. If you have any advice for me for the radio show, anything, I'm going to start having guests on the radio show. I'm going to start probably going out with my iPad and go out and interview people and kind of bring some more things to the show. If you want to give me information, you can contact me by email. It's Tyler@TotallyTraumaticBrain.com. Okay, so we've kind of gotten through that. So the idea of storytelling is that, one, it can be a great recovery tool, and also once the recovery begins and we're in that stage of where we really want to tell our story, this is a space to do it on the radio show here, Brain Damage Radio. And I welcome your story, and if you'd like to know a bit more about mine, I am happy to share that. I wanted to share a few affirmations here that I have. Now, there are some brilliant minds out there doing some fabulous affirmations. You know, Caroline Miss, I think her name is, it's M-Y-S-S. She was a kind of a life coach, I think you'd describe her, years and years and years ago. Here's one of hers. Before you can heal others, you first have to heal yourself. I listen to my body and pay attention to what it's telling me. That's something that's very important in recovery. We have to know what our body is telling us. And I create my own beauty. I take care of my body outside and in. That's important. I use my intuition and intelligence to guide me at all times. That's from Pamela Wells. I like that. I use my intuition and intelligence to guide me at all times. Because with brain injury, your intuition can increase. And I'm going to say, you know, and intelligence, emotional intelligence, mental intelligence. I think through our opportunity to grow up again, I think we can sort of direct ourselves to being the person ideally that we want to be. You know, I guess I shouldn't say ideally. I mean ideally from saying that we have a dream. We have goals for ourselves, and those are certainly permissible and valuable. I changed my life by transforming myself. That's from Amy Zerner. Louise Hay is brilliant. She has Hay House, and she was 60-something when she created Hay House, and which brings us just so much positive audios and books and how-tos and everything. It's her site is just so rich in ways to help caregivers and survivors of brain injury, and anyone else, of course. She says, I am neither too little nor too much, and I do not have to prove myself to anyone. I am okay as I am. That's something that's very important to surviving brain injury. There, you must get to the point where you love your brain. You will have to do that, or it will be to your peril if you do not. So loving your brain is really a place to get where you just can even visualize caressing your brain and soothing your brain with things that feel good And as you're in your recovery, choose things that are healthy for your brain. In some of the work I do with brain injury at the center, I've seen a lot of self-soothing through alcohol and drugs. That's not going to do your brain any good. Matter of fact, it can add damage to your brain. And that would especially be damaging as someone might be going into older age and already anyone without a brain injury and a quote-unquote uninjured brain is going to be going through the aging process. Which none of us are probably looking forward to, but there's also those kinds of things. There's a possibility of dementia and memory loss and all those things that may or may not be normal to aging. So you don't want to add to that. I read a disturbing article years ago, and I didn't follow up with it yet, but I think I will. And maybe if some of you read that, you could call in and talk about it. But what it said is if you were a survivor of brain injury, you had a much higher likelihood of getting dementia and Alzheimer's. And that diagnosis nobody wants to have, especially after you've already spent a lifetime maybe. My accident was at 17, so I'm spending my lifetime with traumatic brain injury. I mean, it didn't happen to me when I was 40 or 50 or anything. It happened to me at age 17. So I didn't get to live much life before all that happened. And it was, you can say in a way that I might have put myself in the position to be in an accident. I was given a sports car by my family for graduation, and it was, convertible, and I drove very fast. My father was a fighter pilot, so there was no lack of speed in our household, and my mother had a Jaguar as well as my father, and my mother drove fast, probably not as fast as my dad and I for sure, but she had a little more something in her brain that was a limiter, sort of governed her speed. Much smarter than my dad and I. And so I just had learned to drive. I mean, I had just gotten my driver's license. I don't remember, but it may have been weeks before my accident. So I head off on these heavy, curvy roads and headed for Santa Barbara to see one of my brothers and had the accident. There, right there near the monument for James Dean, where his car accident was, his Porsche accident, where he was killed. There's a monument there, and the monument was put up after my accident. I don't know the year the monument was put up there, but it's pretty close to the spot my brain matter was left on the highway. So, there's just, we do have to be concerned in loving our brain. We do have to be concerned with self-acceptance. Some people that do not have brain injury have these difficulties too. It's not that we have any kind of corner market on pain and suffering, but what I feel about that is that somebody without brain injury or illness of any kind, they have every ability to get themselves out of whatever they're in. So I believe that when you have traumatic brain injury, you're kind of a rung down on the ladder. We have less to work with. And so that's why it's more important for us to build up those compensation tools. And tools are an amazing thing. And I believe that storytelling is a tool. It is a tool to share. I know that it was one of the hardest things I ever did in my life. And I've done some really courageous things in my life, and I've been very successful in graduating from law school and becoming an author, and now I'm working on being a screenwriter. And I do a lot of, like I said, volunteer work, and I apply these principles that have helped me get on my feet and achieve all these things. These principles are imperative, and where it all started for me was to learn to accept who I was. And I remember the first time I had to stand up, and I went kicking and screaming. I'm not kidding you. In order to graduate, and I say that lightly, from a brain injury program, I had to, one of the things we had to do was stand up and tell our story. Well, I'm sort of one of those that the people that are sort of against being told to do anything. So I've learned to be a little easier up on that. But sometimes we can be a little bit, is the word stubborn? I'm not sure. Maybe. Yes. So I remember when I stood up and I told my story. That was the first time. That was 20 years after my accident. So I did not even share my brain injury and my car accident with people that had become closest to me. I had a lot of shame around my brain injury. I had shame around being different. I had shame around, loss of memory and people asking, well, gee, where did you live when you were 8 years old? And I would just go, duh. I didn't know. I still don't know. So it's difficult navigating a world where you don't have the sameness. You don't have, I feel that there was always a disadvantage. Everyone that had advantage, and I would kind of get frustrated with people that didn't have brain injury. And, and I'm thinking, God, you have money, you have a great career, you have all this stuff, and why are you complaining? I couldn't quite get it, and I was thinking, hey, why don't you try that brain injury and then let's add that to your life and see how you feel. It's tough because there's so many extra things we have to navigate as survivors. And as our caregivers, they have so many things to navigate. My mother lost her financial freedom taking care of me. She lost the rest of her. She wanted to go back and get a master's degree. I took that away from her. She just took care of me. And so these are the realities. These are the painful realities about being a caregiver. While you're caring for the one you love, you're not doing your life. You just can't do this, both of them at the same time. Unless you have lots of benefits, like, lots of insurance, caregivers paid for, the family members that are coming in and helping, and lots of support from the community and family. You can't go take a class and do this and that. You can't do it. You just can't do it as a caregiver. You have to, it just requires a certain amount of focus. And think of all the battles a caregiver has to fight on behalf of the survivor. There's, Department of Rehab, there's social services, there's all kinds of that, there's independent living centers, there's all of that out there requires a great deal of fighting. There's maybe getting SSI benefits, and then maybe the caregiver is living in a state where she can apply for IHSS and get paid to be a caregiver. That's helpful to the income. There's bills to be paid. There's sacrifices. There's a retirement that may not be at the end of the rainbow for that caregiver. It, statistics show that as a caregiver, many women find themselves on the opposite end of a retirement account at their end and live more so in poverty than non-caregivers. So there's sacrifices to help the one you love. And so out there for survivors, I want to send out a real appreciation for caregivers and for what they do, and an acknowledgement that they are visible. They're visible on this show, I know all too well, because I also lost my law career becoming a caregiver for my mother. So what went around. So I don't have that cushy retirement account either. I spent 8 years as a caregiver for my mom. So sacrifices aside, as a survivor, the remanufacturing of the self is just critical, but it can be a joyous space. If you apply the principles, if you apply positiveness, affirmations, maybe build the I Am book. I've talked about that before. The I Am book saved me. I developed the I Am book. I also developed a calendar, which will be on our website for sale pretty soon. I'm working on the design of that. It's my calendar that I use for myself. And, again, totallytraumaticbrain.com. You can also email me at tyler@totallytraumaticbrain.com. And you can get my book off of Amazon, Counting the Days, Recovery Through the Romance Side of the Brain. And let's see what else. I want to look at some of the things I enjoy. I want to read something from my book, but I have with me The Law of the Higher Potential, How to Get What You Want by Robert Collier. And there are just so many amazing affirmations, but they're not really, they're affirmations, but they're, I call it kind of affirmation prose, because after all, it is a book. In here, it talks in chapter 14, it talks about the three laws of life. And I love this. And I'm going to change the language a little bit, because in 1932, it was all he and it was all God from this particular author. So know that I am changing Robert Collier's words just a little bit to sort of advance the ball in the fact that that all lives matter, all women matter. Law number one, the law of averages, under which, and forgive me if in inserting and correcting the pronouns kind of slows me down here, I apologize. The law of averages, under which in the mass is no better off than the animals. Her chances of happiness and success in life, but little better than 1 in 100. Law two, the law of tendencies, which is towards life-giving. To the extent that human allies himself, herself, with this great fundamental force of nature, to that extent, he improves his, her chances for success. Law three, the law of capillary attraction. I love this one because I feel that I can literally meditate and round up all the cells in my body to move and focus on my desire. And I call it missiles of desire. For me, I'm creating missiles of desire. I know a lot of people say, many people say rockets of desire, but missiles to me are for brain injury, because I think that we, with a greater desire for recovery, a greater desire for independence, a greater desire to live our life and figure all that out, I think we're sending up missiles for our dreams. The laws of capillary attraction, which gives to every nucleus the power to draw to itself those things necessary for its growth and fulfillment. It is through this third law that a person is able to rise above the law of averages. Remember, the law of averages is sort of that 1 in 100, under which people in the mass are no better off than the animal, okay? It is by using capillary of attraction with the law of tendency that she is able to reach any height and attain any goal. So law two and three change the law of averages, which is not so good. So I think this is really powerful if you want a great book. This is the newer edition, and I think this came from Hay House. I bought it. Also, I bought the audio. Also, Robert Collier's family has a website. I don't know if you can get anything off of that, but you might check. And here, this is from This is kind of interesting, kind of a prose poem here, and then we'll talk about some other things. But if you think you are beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you'd like to win, but you think you can't, it is almost a cinch you won't. If you think you'll lose, you've lost. For out in the world you'll find success begins with a fellow's will. Person's will, it is all in the state of mind. Full many a race is lost, are even a race is run, and many a coward fails ere even her work's begun. Think big and your deeds will grow. Think small and you will fall behind. Think that you can and you will. It is all in the state of mind. If you think you are outclassed, you are. You've got to think high to rise. You've got to be sure of yourself before you can ever win a prize. Life's battle doesn't always go to the stronger or the faster person, but sooner or later, the person who wins is the fellow person who thinks she can. So those are some great things. I mean, this book I could just take to the beach in a chair with the sun shining and just read this whole thing. And this is bigger, thicker than a Bible. So it's got a bunch of books all in one. So again, the recovery time is extremely imperative that you use that time, the recovery time, for your best kind of building of yourself. And there's not a whole lot of time to read out of my book. I might, but I want to go over again because I really want to hear from you as to your stories. If you send them to my email, Tyler@totallytraumaticbrain.com, then what I would like to do is have you also, I forgot to mention, on our website, what I'd like to do is I have something called West Ender. And it's sort of a blog story space on the website, totallytraumaticbrain.com. And I would like to have your stories. If you want to write something, I would like to publish that on the website. And you can be anonymous, you can be initials, you can be your name, whatever you'd like. Now, of course, we are going to not publish anything that's derogatory or, you know, swear language or anything like that. I don't know what the disclaimer is that I'm trying to say, but you get it. It's just your story is I want your truthful story. And so if you want to share it with us, please do. Again, the guest call-in is 619-924-0793. And I can, let's see here, maybe I can have a moment to read something from my book. This is poem number 62, kind of, I guess, maybe on the romantic theory. It's called When Love Kills. A heart, it will grow most anywhere, where it is safe, where it is kind, trusted and sure, spreading its vines. To pick the right soil to tempt us, I picked a rock on a hillside once and couldn't root. Instead of admitting it, I didn't give up. I kept struggling to find a way through stone to nestle my seed. Aromatic, we're seeking residence. A wet redwood nest, a spot in the sun that spreads through thick tree branch, leaching. In every crack, I gained momentum, but no place to seed. I got comfortable thinking to stay. I saw ground, it was rock. I saw sun, it rained. I saw love, it was not. So you said, so you were wrong. Finding soil is what I finally did, and you to stone. So I haven't read much in my book because I haven't done book signings for a number of years. I think the last book signing I did was in San Francisco in about 2010. And I've kind of gotten away from my book. I've been working on a screenplay. My dream, I'd like to know what your dream is. My dream is to write a screenplay and make a movie. I would like to option a screenplay. That is very hard these days to do. That's sort of like waking up 20 years after a brain injury and wanting to be president. I do believe that we can see, as in the 2016 elections, that you can wake up anytime and not have any experience and be running for president. So, you know, the adage, nothing is impossible, that's true. However, it depends on, you know, it depends on a lot of things. I went to law school instead of going to a film class program. So my dream is actually to go through a kind of a internet screenwriting school. There's some programs in San Francisco. I'd like to live closer so I can take advantage of that and work on my screenplay. I have one completed. It's with an editor now. I don't know how that's working out. It's very expensive when you have brain injury too, again, being sort of on the, you have to accept sometimes being at the back of the class. And I've had to learn to accept that with my brain injury. I don't always buy into it because obviously I graduated from law school, so I didn't buy into the fact that I would never amount to anything according to the medicine, to doctors, that I would not amount to anything. And I was told I wouldn't even be able to pass a paralegal class, and I graduated from law school. So I do believe honestly and sincerely to you that anything is possible. But there are a lot of obstacles, let's put it that way. There are a lot of obstacles to being a screenwriter. And maybe we'll talk about that some other time when somebody's talking about their dream. I'll share more about that. In the time left, I want to read you I have a lot of bookmarks from, here's a little bit of my bio. Tyler Stanley is a freelance scriptwriter, novelist, and poet. She is a member of the Redwood Writers Chapter of the California Writers Club and has been published in four editions of its writer's anthology, Vintage Voices. She also authored Ballad of an Imagined Woman, published in a women's anthology, and her work, San Francisco Birthday, was selected for publication in Bridges, a San Francisco Writers Conference anthology. Ms. Stanley is currently working on a murder romance screenplay. That is the one that is completed now, and has written three novels, including Turning the Red Earth, a nonfiction account of surviving traumatic brain injury. Now, I haven't shopped for a publisher for Turning the Red Earth in a number of years, and I really actually, maybe I haven't. I think I tried to market another novel I had. And again, you know, being female also, so there's a lot of brain damage. I'm female. I'm over 25. And, you know, it just, there's nothing but challenges. But I continue to apply the principles of the higher power, of my higher power, and my affirmations, my I Am book. And I apply these things every day. If I feel like I can't make it as a screenwriter or get my books published, more books published, then, you know, I just say anything's possible. And I do my meditation, not meditation like sort of yoga. I've never been able to sit still enough for yoga. And so that has sort of been a, you know, it's very popular with people. I just can't do it, maybe because of the brain injury. I don't know. But however, I do want to say that I do study on the affirmations, and I write my own affirmations. I have many that I've written. I can share next week maybe some of those. But remember, just remember going out into the world, have a wonderful weekend, and just realize that negativity is the anti-positive laws of the higher potential. That's kind of a tongue twister. Sorry about that, but sort of like the antichrist, is struggle is sort of the anti of positive thinking. And we want to keep into the positive thinking. It doesn't mean you can't be depressed. It doesn't mean that you're going to become what you think in 17 seconds. Okay. So with that, have a fabulous weekend. I hope to hear from you, and really God bless you all. And I mean that in sincerity. And I hope that you find your universe and your dreams, and take care.